Welcome to Well Balanced Life, where we share experiences of living with special needs and how we've overcome the challenges, but also embrace the beauty of this world. I'm Melanie, and with me is my daughter Grace, so you can hear firsthand what it's like living with developmental disabilities. Today's topic is on meltdowns. We felt like this was a good place to start because it's often the most challenging symptom, but it also leads us to diving into the reasons why they happen, which could be due to sensory, communication, change, transitions. There's a whole list of reasons why somebody has a meltdown, and after this episode, we hope to kind of narrow down maybe each symptom. We'll talk about each symptom individually. But for today, we're just going to kind of clump it together. So let's get started. Hi, Gracie. Why don't we start with what is a meltdown?
Meltdowns are when I would scream, hurt myself, and cry and not stop crying.
Were you in control?
Sometimes I wasn't.
Right. So I'm just going to give a definition. The National Autistic Society says, a meltdown is an intense response to an overwhelming situation. It happens when someone becomes completely overwhelmed by their situation and temporarily loses control of their behavior. Did that make sense to you? Did you catch any of that?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does a meltdown look like for you?
Like you mean when I was younger or today?
Actually, you know what? That's a good point. It's very different from when you were younger than today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you start with what did it look like? What was a meltdown like for you when you were younger?
I would cry and scream until I got in what I wanted.
Oh, did you ever get what you wanted when you cried and screamed like that?
No.
So the screaming went on for a long time, didn't it?
Eventually we talked, and then it depended, like, what it was.
Yes, true.
Yeah, that's what I was coming
but
across
you would,
to.
But you, one thing I can say is you would never get rewarded.
After a meltdown.
So if your meltdown was for something even reasonable, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't teach you that that's how you get things.
Yeah, by having a meltdown.
Yeah. So what would you do physically to your body?
I would hurt, like, I would crack my knuckles, like I would, you know.
Yep.
Not a good thing. Sometimes I would, like, I know that I scratched myself, but, like, and crack my knuckles, that's, like, the only thing. Sometimes I would scratch myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, well, full disclosure, we tried to do this podcast the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't too much coming out, right?
Yeah.
Like, Gracie likes to just listen sometimes and zone out and say, yeah.
Which I am sorry about.
No, it's okay. It's okay. This is a whole new process for us, right? We'll get better as we go, and we're learning every day. So it's okay. But we were talking about what it looked like for you when you had a meltdown when you were younger.
Yeah.
And you said crying, screaming for hours, and popping my joints.
Yeah.
But you forgot about scratching yourself, and...
Did you just say that I bit myself?
No, you would bite me.
Actually,
you know what? You did bite yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, you did.
And honestly, I do not remember hurting my own mom. I would never hurt my mom.
I know, it's okay. Like we said in that other definition, right? From the National Autistic Society.
Yeah.
It's you don't have any control of yourself.
Yeah.
During those moments.
Yeah.
Of overwhelm. So, no, that's okay. But what I was telling you was you would scratch yourself and pinch yourself.
Yeah.
You would pull your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you did bite yourself. I forgot about that. That didn't happen too often.
Yeah.
But you did bite yourself.
Yeah.
And the screaming, you're right, it would go on for hours sometimes. And could we reason with you during that time?
No. Well, once I was, like, settled down, then we would, like, talk about it, but...
Yeah, but we would wait quite a bit.
Yeah.
We would wait a good few hours before we talked about it.
Yeah.
You tired?
Sorry. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. When you had a meltdown, I don't even know if you would remember when you were younger, but even now, like when you get anxious, What does your body feel like? Does anything happen to your body physically?
When I get, like, anxious or something?
Yeah, like, do you feel anything inside your body
happening?
When I
get, like, excited, I get butterflies in my stomach. And that's, like, the only part of getting excited. But, like, when I'm upset or something, it depends. Like, sometimes I get anxious. Like, I have this weird feeling in my stomach. Or if I've cried for a period of time, sometimes I get a headache. Mm-hmm. Or especially when my brain shuts down, I can't really think of what to say or do.
Right. Yeah. What does it mean when your brain shuts down?
It means, like, I can't think. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I...
Yeah. Yeah, and even now that you're older, would you say... What do your meltdowns look like now that you're older?
My meltdowns, I don't scream like I used to or have a big meltdown. I cry.
Well, I would say you haven't had a meltdown in a good few years.
Yeah.
Right? But even when you were, I can't remember if you were 16, 17, maybe even 18. Maybe 17 years old. I'll have to look back on the blog. But what happens after a holiday, especially Christmas?
I am not myself. I am sad. I am disappointed that the fun's over. Even when it's not a holiday, like when we go on a vacation or like if I came back from camp, I'm sad.
Yeah.
I don't like when the fun ends.
Right. And how do you deal with that? Like the next day.
I have a moment and then I just say, you know, like I'm very glad that I was able to do that.
Oh.
Fun activity, and then I wait patiently until the next year or the next time we go somewhere or
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because the patiently I don't think I can agree with, but I mean but are you ever patient?
Depends what it is.
Not usually. What was our rule when your birthday would come up? When were you allowed to talk about your birthday? Or Christmas? When were you allowed to talk about Christmas?
So usually I would talk about my birthday, for example. Like sometimes I would be like, Mom, I want this for my birthday in like February or March. Not even, you know.
Yeah, or even the day after your birthday.
Yeah.
So we gave you some boundaries there, right? Like you were only allowed to talk about Christmas December 1st.
Yes.
Right? We call it the holiday hangover.
Yes.
The holiday hangover because it's such a disappointment after it's done, right?
Yeah, all the fun, like this year actually been good.
You've done fantastic.
Like this year I was really good because this year with the big snowstorm, I was stressed out a couple days because I think it was like 4 days of visiting family, and I was a little stressed 2 days before because I was worried that it was going to get canceled because I don't do well with last minute changes. Like if I found out like a couple days before, then I would be sad, have a moment, and then, you know, but I don't do well with like right last minute change.
Yeah.
So this year I was very grateful that we got to spend Christmas with the family, you know, like Christmas Eve, we went to my uncle's, cottage and then, Christmas Eve we had family at our house and then we went to our uncle's cottage and then the 26th we went to my cousin Phil's, which was a lot of fun. Feels like that was yesterday. And then the 27th, we went to London for the day, and then we came home. So, I think that what helped me a lot this year was having, you know, a couple extra fun things right after Christmas, and
I never thought of it that way.
New Year's with Cameron was fun too. So I was very lucky to have more fun than what we usually are. And last year too, we went to Alberta too, and I cried on Boxing Day. I cried. You know, I was sad.
But you're not crying as long as you used to.
Yeah.
Like you used to cry for a good few hours.
Yeah.
Just to get it all out,
and
then you were fine. And we knew to just leave you be, right?
Yeah.
You would go in
just
your
leave
room.
Leave me alone, have some personal space.
Yeah, absolutely. And with all of the visiting, too, which we haven't had with COVID, you've always needed that downtime after,
right?
Yeah,
COVID, it's very nice because they say when you do something for, like, some people have traditions where they get together every year. And with COVID, families and people haven't been able to get together, unfortunately. But COVID was actually a nice break, and then I was able, you know, and now with things opening again, with vaccines and stuff, you know, and things getting better and reopening, you know, it felt so good to be able to have that again, and, you know, and
it's pretty special this
year. Yeah, this Christmas was a lot of fun because it was, you know, nice to be able to have that routine that I was used to, and
So you've mentioned routine, you mentioned change is hard for you, so that kind of leads to the next question I had. What are the reasons for the meltdown? We'll talk about you specifically, and then maybe we can mention what other kids might be struggling with. So what made you have a meltdown?
Well, I think it was because I was sad. I didn't really, when I was younger, I didn't really know how to express my feelings as well. For example, one of the big ones was when my therapist, Natasha, moved away. I messed up my room while my grandma was visiting.
Oh, did you ever?
Yeah.
You destroyed it.
Yeah.
Cut up all the paperwork from your IBI therapy and just threw every game and toy and paper.
And my grandma was visiting. My grandma was babysitting.
Your great-grandma was babysitting. My great-grandma. Yeah.
Talking about this memory can be hard a little bit because my great-grandma passed away in 2020.
Yeah.
In that memory, I would always talk about that with my grandma. I miss you, Grandma. Sorry, I'm getting emotional.
We laughed about that all the time, though, eh? She loved that story.
Yeah, my grandma.
She was so mad at you.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, we didn't know why you did that.
Yeah.
For a little while. And it wasn't until I noticed the duck game that you used to play with Tasha all the time.
Yeah.
That was your, like, that was just one of the things that you guys did every day. And there was something that you had done with that game. I can't remember now, but that's how I was like, oh my gosh. Because Tasha had just moved away.
Yeah.
And I noticed that game was in some kind of formation. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. But I'm like, that was you getting all of your emotions out.
Yeah. Well, when I was...
So that's change.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, it's okay.
That it was a big change for you. So change has been hard for you.
Yeah.
What else was hard for you?
With the unknowns was...
Yes.
The unknowns. Like, I'd still today, like, I... like. The unknowns are still hard for me today. I wish there's no such thing as unknowns, but there is. And I have to sometimes be patient or, you know.
Yep. So unknowns, change, avoiding things, right? Yeah. Do you remember school, elementary school?
Yes.
You would get really, really, really upset about your schoolwork. Yeah. If you thought it was too hard.
Yeah, schoolwork in elementary and high school were hard. But I got help, which I was very grateful for.
But I don't know that the schoolwork was actually... It wasn't as hard as you think. I think what the difference is, you learned how to manage your emotions. And the biggest thing is you learned to not panic as soon as you saw the work. You still do panic sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But we've learned to cut down your work.
Yeah.
So if you see like a whole bunch of work, you go into panic mode right away. And that's when your brain shuts down.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You panic right away. And when you were in elementary school, it was big meltdown.
Yeah.
And you would have Miss McKinney and Miss Dahmer and Miss Dahl and all the wonderful people there that helped calm you down.
Yeah.
So by them teaching you through social stories and modeling and practice, every year you were learning and growing and figuring that out. So then by the time you got to high school, you still kind of struggled with it, and you had an EA at the high school, but even in high school that started getting cut back even more and more, and you had your sister there, but then your sister left, Josh was still there, but Emma was your go-to person. So when Emma left, what strategy did you come up with on your own? I'll give you a hint. It was the bathroom.
The bathroom. I would go and have a moment in the bathroom.
So when you would see your work, or you were worried that you couldn't do something in class, or you were just overwhelmed, you would ask to be excused?
Yeah.
And what would you do?
go to the bathroom and have a moment. And then I would feel better.
What does have a moment look like?
A moment is where my brain shuts down and I'm like, I can't do this. I give up. But I tell myself that I can do it and I get it done.
Yeah. Gosh, you've come such a long way.
Yeah, eh? I have. Yeah.
So for some people, I think this went for you as well. Communication is a big thing.
Yeah, communicating, yeah.
If somebody is nonverbal and they cannot express what their needs or their wants are, that can be really, really hard for somebody. Mm-hmm, yeah. But it also can be difficult for somebody who's very verbal. And I'm going to give an example. I went to the Geneva Center, the autism conference through the Geneva Center many years ago. Mm-hmm. You were just a toddler probably.
Yeah.
And I heard this woman named Roz speak, and she had autism.
Yeah.
And I remember actually watching her thinking, oh my gosh, I can totally see Gracie doing this. So you must have been older because you were a talker.
Yeah.
And Roz was a fantastic presenter. She was so engaging and entertaining and educating us so well. But she had said that the year before, I guess it was 3 or 4 years before, because they do that autism conference every few years. Mm-hmm, but she was a speaker there, and they asked her to put her presentation on a USB stick.
Oh, really?
But she didn't know how to do that.
Oh.
So in her mind...
Yeah.
Well, you know what she did? Because she couldn't put it on the USB stick? She threw her computer across the room.
Oh.
Yeah, and it broke.
Oh.
And she said,
that's not what you do to solve a problem.
True, but she was saying in her mind, and she was an adult at the time too, right? She said in her mind, she wasn't being aggressive, she wasn't being mean, she wasn't being difficult or defiant. In her mind, if the computer's broken, she wasn't able to put the presentation on the USB stick.
That makes more sense.
Right?
Now.
Yeah. So even if somebody's verbal, they can still struggle with communicating that, hey, I like, it would have been much easier for her to say, I don't know how to do that. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's communication is a huge one. So we'll do a podcast on just a communication episode. And then escape and avoidance. So if there's school work that you don't want to do or your parents want you to go to the beach or to the park and sensory is an issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Any sort of escape and avoidance can cause a meltdown. Mm-hmm. Change in routine, sensory issues.
Yeah.
Would you have those too?
Yeah.
You're hypersensitive to sound.
Yeah.
I think we said transitions and needs and wants. That was a big one for you.
Yes.
When you didn't get what you wanted.
Yes, then I would be very upset.
Oh, would you ever?
Yeah.
What do you think parents should do if their child is having a meltdown?
Well, give your child a few minutes, like, give your child the time to let their emotions out. And then, like we said earlier, like, then wait a few hours and then talk to your child about what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you think you needed space during those meltdowns?
Yeah, needed space and time for myself.
Which, obviously, we would try to give you, but sometimes it wasn't very safe.
Yeah.
Right?
Depends on what it was.
We just have to keep you safe.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'd have to hold you tight, right? Like a little basket hold. You'd be, I'd be wrapped around you trying to keep you from hurting yourself.
Yeah.
But when I say holding you, that was to keep you safe and to stop you from hurting yourself. But holding you also kept you calm. Yes. That was with deep pressure.
Yes, deep pressure. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by deep pressure?
It's like putting weight on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think that helps you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you remember what we did? It used to help you a lot.
They used to put me in my mat in the mattress.
Yeah. You love that, actually.
Yeah.
So I would lift the corner of the mattress up.
Yeah.
You would slide in head first.
Yeah.
And you'd be laying on like the box spring or whatever. Yeah. And then I would lower the mattress. I wouldn't leave you because that could be dangerous, right? We don't want to put heavy things on you.
Yeah.
But you would just lay there until you said, okay, I'm good.
Okay.
And then I would lift it up and you would come out. And that would calm you pretty quick, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That helped. And Nan actually had a good tip. She said a cool shower.
Oh. I don't like cool showers.
You don't. But there was a day where you were older. So it wasn't like an uncontrollable meltdown. It kind of was. But I suggested...
What was it about?
I don't remember. But I remember suggesting to you, why don't you go have a cool shower? And you actually did. And you said it calmed you down.
Oh.
But we didn't do that very often.
Yeah. I like bathtub temperature waters. I don't like cold. I don't know.
Yeah. What other kind of touch helps you calm?
Tickle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love getting massages and tickles. I love it.
When you were little... Super little, like toddler little. Yeah. Dad used to bring you to an osteopath.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't remember this, I don't think. Yeah. Maybe you do. Maybe. But
I have a good memory, maybe.
You could be in, you could cry the whole way, and he would, I think it was Newmarket he had to bring you.
Oh.
And you would either be full of energy or screaming or whatever, but definitely full of energy. And the second that the osteopath came in, they would... We would lay you down on the table, and they put their hands right under your head.
Yes.
Like the right on your scalp.
Oh.
The back of your head, and you calmed right down for the entire session.
That reminds me, didn't you say, like, my head was rounded differently?
It was flat.
It was flat, yeah.
Yeah, because like, you were...
Is it still flat today, or did
Well, no, actually, the osteopath... Well, and that was the funny thing, too. So, Gracie had a flat head.
I remember I had something wrong with my head, but I, like, couldn't really remember what it was.
Yeah. So, you were laying on your back a lot, and you had this flat head.
Yes.
And so, we went to the osteopath, and honestly, had I not noticed the change in your skull, like, it rounded out.
Yes.
It's not, it's still a little flat, but it did round out a lot more than...
Yeah.
What it was. Yes. And that's actually when you started having a few more words.
Oh. That's cool.
You started speaking and you were super calm when we did that.
Yeah.
The other time that you had your... You spoke more in the day that we brought you to the... I'll never forget it. It was the resource teacher program.
Yeah.
At one... It's called One Roof now. I don't know if it was called that before, but you were on the swing. They had a swing there. You were on the swing, and we were having a meeting with the physiotherapist or somebody, and you were swinging, and you said more words on that swing than you had the entire time you had been with us.
What?
Yeah, and at that point, they said, there isn't any scientific evidence to prove it, but we hear this all the time, and we see it all the time. When kids are getting vestibular motion, they communicate more.
Really? But, like, what do you mean...
Vestibular?
Sorry, it's such a hard word to pronounce.
Try it. Vestibular.
Vestibular?
Yeah. Close. Vestibular. That swinging motion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. What could you say to the kids who might be struggling, or maybe they're embarrassed because they've had meltdowns either in the classroom in front of their friends and peers or out in the community? What's some advice you have for the kids?
Well, I have some advice. Is like, well, if you feel like you're getting overwhelmed or, you know, need a time, like, maybe go and ask to take a walk or go to the washroom or need someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what if they've already had the meltdown?
In
public, well, and they're embarrassed.
Well, if you're embarrassed, you know, talk to your parent about it and have some time to think, well, how can I prevent from the meltdown from happening in a classroom or in a public place again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think this is, I'm glad that we started with this because I think there's so many different episodes that we can do based just on the symptoms that the kids have that cause meltdowns.
Yes.
So we'll have to decide, do we want to do our first one, like our next episode on the communication piece or sensory issues or I'll let you pick that one, okay?
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that.
Yeah, no problem.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was way better than the first time we did it. Did it feel better?
Yeah, I like it. It feels better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's just practice at this, right?
Yes.
But I think it's great. I think it's a good way to get awareness out and to help people, right? Mm-hmm. That's our whole goal is to help other people. And we know that every single person out there, like, you have quite a few diagnoses.
Yes.
You have autism.
Yes.
Intellectual disability.
Yes.
Alcohol-related neurological disorder.
Yes.
ADHD combined and anxiety.
Sounds like a lot.
It does.
It is.
It does. Ugh. But you know what? If somebody looked at you today, they'd never know it.
Yeah.
Right? You have come so far.
I know.
And your kids can come so far too. Maturity really helped, I think.
Yes, maturity. getting taught how to become responsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you for listening. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week.
Yes.
With whatever Gracie chooses to to do.
Yes.
Have a great day, everyone, and don't forget
to like, share, and subscribe.
Right. And I was going to say, don't forget, you're not alone.
Yes.